We're holding on Nundalid Amud Aleph, fourth line. So the Mishnah had gone through the tkiyas that they do every day in the Beis HaMikdash, where every day there's at least 21. And they have three when they open the gates, a tkiya, two a tkiya, nine when they're doing the Talmud Shal Shachar, and nine for the Talmud Shal Ben Habayim, because Rashi explained they divided the Shir Shal Yom into three parts, and each part they would blow tkiya, two a tkiya. So you have nine for each of those, makes 21. And then the Mishnah had gone through various other ones that they do during the year. One of them being, we said, Erev Shabbos Shabbosecha Chag Chola. That ultimately we said that on Erev Shabbos that comes out during Sukkot, you have 48 because you have a whole bunch of extra for the Musafim and for the and for the drawing of the water, etc. So among the ones we mentioned,
could you repeat that, Alexander?
We're saying that on Erev Shabbos during Sukkot, they had altogether 48 tekiyas in the Beis HaMikdash because they added a whole bunch of extra ones in connection with the Musafim and in connection with the drawing of the water. So the Mishnah had mentioned then that they had three when they were by the upper gate, Shal Nikaner, three when they were by the lower gate, the eastern gate of the Ezras Noshim, and then three when they filled up the water, etc. So the Gemara points out, the Ivel Amayla Asiris Leichatani. Now, the Mishnah is not listing the three that they blew on the 10th step. The previous Mishnah had told us that they would blow Tekiah Truah Tekiah by Shaar Nikaner. Then they would blow three more by the 10th step. And we said, does that mean the 10th step from the top or from the bottom? We weren't sure. And then we said they would blow again when they reached the floor of the Azara and continue blowing until they reached the Shaar HaMizrach. So now our Mishnah is not mentioning the Maila Asiris this morning, Ali. Masnissin Mani, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So who is our Mishnah like? Is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, unlike the previous one. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Sholosh Lamaila Asiris. The Tanakama of the Braisa says that they blew three when they reached the 10th step, like we had in the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Sholosh Agabi HaMizbeach, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says there were three when they stood the Arabis around the Mizbeach, as we learned in the previous parak. So the Gemara points out, there's nobody says that they did both of them. Everybody agrees that it's one or the other. The Tanakama of the Braisa and the Tana of the previous Mishnah that says that they used to blow Tekiah Truah Tekiah when they reached the 10th step, he does not hold that they did it when they were putting the Arabis around the Mizbeach, for reasons the Gemara is going to explain in a second. And vice versa, if you say, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that you did it when they put the Arabis around the Mizbeach, then they didn't do it by the 10th step. So the Gemara says, my time did Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say that you don't do it by the 10th step, but you do it by the Arabis, by the Mizbeach? Because he says, "Kibin to talk of psichas sha'arim." Once you already blew when you opened the gate. Now we have to clarify that the psichas sha'arim does not mean the opening of the gates of the Beis HaMikdash that we're talking about that took place every day. Here we're talking about the opening of the Shaar Nikaner, namely where the Kohenim are standing there by Shaar Nikaner holding two chatzotzos, as it said in the previous Mishnah. And when it came Korah HaGever, when the rooster crowed, or when Gvini Korah made his announcement according to the different possibilities, then they would blow a tkiah through a tkiah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov figures, that has to do with the filling of the water. So after all, he says, the whole purpose of the extra tekiyas on Sukkot in connection with Simchas Beis HaSheva is because of Ush'avta Mayim B'Sasin. So therefore, so he figures that, if you're already doing it when you're opening the gate, when you're opening Shaar Nikaner and getting ready to go to fill up the water, Lamaila Asiris Lamali, then why also blow when it comes to the 10th step? You're not adding anything in there. That's not another stage in going and filling the water. Lamali Ditoka, Hai Lav Sharhu. After all, if not a Shar, you could say every time they open a Shar, or every time when they open the Shar Nikaner to go, then they blow. When they open the Shar Mizrach to go, then they blow. When they bring the water in through Shar Amayim, which is Lamili Amayim, then fine, they blow again. So, but now the 10th step is none of the above. So better to do it when they're putting the arovas around the mizbeach. So that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But Rabbanan Savri, the Chum say the other way around. Kiven to Toka lemilui hamayim, since they're blowing for milui hamayim when they bring the water in through the when they bring the water through the through the Shar Hamayim, Agabe Mizbeach Lomali. What would be the point of blowing again when they're putting the Arovas around the Mizbeach? The Arovas are not the cause of the Tekiyas. The water is. Therefore, they figure the Maila Asiris is better because then it shows that you're going. Why Dafka? The 10th step is because the Mokum Mesuyam, it's a defined place where we can say that then that's another place, another stage in the process of going to fill up the water and therefore to blow over there. Rashi brings another explanation from Ezra Beyim that Lagabe Mizbeach doesn't mean when they put the Arovas around the Mizbeach, it means when they bring the water to the Mizbeach. But Rashi says that no, then in that case you would actually end up with too many tekiyas because you also have the ones that we said when they put the arovas. The fact is you have an opinion that says that when they put the arovas around the mizbeach, then they did this, and then you'd end up with too many tekiyas. So Rashi says, okay, maybe what it is maybe they did them at the same time. They put the arovas at the same time that they're bringing the water to the mizbeach. Anyway, that's the machloikas, is given that there's only a certain number of extra tekiyas that are in connection with the water, then where do we want those? Do we want those primarily while we're going while we're on the way to bring the water, namely on the 10th step, or do we mainly want it al gabi amizbeach when they're putting the arovas around the mizbeach? So that's the machlokes. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, "Ki osir of Acha b'Chanina b'Doroima." When Rav Acha b'Chanina came from the south, the pashtus, the south of Eretz Yisrael, Isi Masnisa b'Yodei. He brought with him a brisa. We're going to talk about now the Musafim. Now we said in the Mishnah that when on a day when there's a korban Musaf, then they would blow 9 extra tekiyas, because the same way as the regular Shir Shoyim, we said they divided into 3 parts, and each part they would do tekiyah, 2 or tekiyah. The same way, when there was a korban Musaf, there was a Shir Shoyim for Musaf. Most of those we don't know, although there are Masech Tesofim does list some of them, that there is a minhag in some places to say, and some shul tak have a minhag to say these. In Sfardish shuls, for example, they say Kapitel Mem Beis Mem Gimel on Shmini Atzeres, and they say Kapitel I think Samaches on Shavuot and whatever. So those might be the same ones they did in the Beis Mikdash, maybe not. Anyway, so they were divided into 3 parts, and they blow tekiyah through tekiyah at each part. So now let's talk about what happens when there's more than one musaf. So Rav Acha b'Chanina brought with him a braisa that says, the pasuk says, of Nei Aaron HaKohenim Yiskul b'Chatzotzeres, the sons of Aaron the Kohenim should blow the Chatzotzeres. Now, why does it have to say Yiskul? She'ein Tamud Lema Yiskul. It doesn't have to say the word Yiskul. It could just say Bnei Aaron b'Chatzotzeres. And we're going to understand, what are they going to do with the Chatzotzeres? They're going to blow them. She'ein Tamud Lema Yiskul. She'kvan Nemo Skatem b'Chatzotzeres Alo Leisechem Al Zibchei Shameichem. A couple of psukim later, it says that the Bnei Aaron, that you should blow your tekiya on the chatzotzeres by your oilus and by your zivchei shlomim. Uma tamad loyma yisku. So in the pasuk of Bnei Aaron akarim yisku b'chatzotzeres, what's the word yisku doing over there? Hakol l'fiyam musafin token means you blow according to the musafin. Now what does that mean? The Braisa says you blow according to the musafin. Hu tonila, Rav Acha b'Chanina had taught that braisa, v'hu omala, and he explained what the braisa means. Loimer shetoken al kol musaf u'musaf. Means that you blow for every individual musaf. So in other words, let's say if it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, or Shabbos and Yom Tov, or what have you, then you blow 9 for the musaf of Shabbos and 9 for the musaf of Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov or whatever. So okay, the Gemara says, let's see, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see if it fits with that. The Mishnah said, Erev Shabbos Shabbosecha Chag Ho Yosham Memches, on Erev Shabbos during Sukkot, there were 48 tekiyas, and we said, how does that break down? You have the 21 of every day, 9 for the Musafim, 12 in connection with the milu, 12 in connection with the milu yamayim, and six to separate between chol and kodesh, between Friday and Shabbos. So that makes 48. V'im isa. Now you're telling me, Rav Acha, that every separate musaf you have separate tkiyas, separate nine tkiyas, listening Shabbos shabbos seichachad. Then why are you mentioning erev Shabbos during Sukkos? Mention instead Shabbos during Sukkos. Mashkachas lo chamishit v'chad, and then you're going to have 51, because you're going to have the 21 of every day. You're going to have 18 for the musafim by our assumption. You're going to have 12 for the milu yamayim. There is your 51. So Rav Zeira says the reason is because you don't blow for the opening of the gates on Shabbos. Here we mean opening the gates the way the Mishnah said it. The original opening of the gates every morning that they did every day, you leave that out on Shabbos. So therefore, that's three. You had Sholosh L'Psichas Sh'arim. So according to Rav Zeira, you subtract those, you're back down to 48. So that being the case, the Mishnah didn't mention it because it's 48. It's the same thing as the other 48. No reason to mention all the cases where there are 48. We just wanted to highlight that there's a time when you have 48. Amar Rava, but Rava doesn't like that answer. Man hod lechosh lekimcha. Who is this who answers like that, who doesn't care about his flour? So Rashi says, I mean, the metaphor means, in other words, imagine you have a person who has a mill, and you just, whatever you give him, he's going to grind. He doesn't care whether he's getting bran. He doesn't care whether he's getting clean flour. So in other words, the nimshal is, in other words, you're talking and you're not caring whether what you're saying makes sense. There are a couple of other explanations among Rishonim, one of them being that the flour refers to when you come to eat it. Like he's just eating indiscriminately without caring whether what he's eating is good stuff or not. In other words, whatever the case, the point is that Rava is saying, what kind of an answer is that? That b'chlal doesn't work. Number one, the Mishnah said, b'chol yoyim. They have 21, and that means every day, including Shabbos. And also, okay, even you're going to say that mine, fine, b'chol yom, every rule has exceptions, so it means only on weekdays. So fine, let's say then it means that Shabbos during Sukkos, you have 48, just like you have Erev Shabbos during Sukkos. Still, listni Shabbos Shabbos Chag, ho yisham aboy mishmona. In that case, still, it would have been a bigger chiddush for the Mishnah to mention Shabbos of Sukkos when you have 48. And then the advantage would be, you would be able to then derive two things from that now you don't know when we're mentioning Erev Shabbos. First of all, Shamat Minot de Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. First of all, we would see what we said before, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which, as we said, that you don't blow on the 10th step up until now. Without the Mishnah, we didn't know of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. So that's first of all. And number two, Rashamat Mina that Rav Acha Bachanina. Number two, you'd then be able to see that what Rav Acha Bachanina is saying, that how would you get 48 on Shabbos during Sukkos only by having nine more for the second Musaf? So that would have been a better thing for the Mishnah to do, as opposed to like this, when it talks about Erev Shabbos of Sukkos, fine, you learn from it Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's concept, but you don't learn from it Rav Acha Bachanina's concept. So if both of them are equal 48, then it still should have said that. And if Shabbos during Sukkos really is 51, all the more so it should have said that, because that's the maximum. So no, that doesn't work. Ela Omar Rabba Lafisha in token the milu mayim b'Shabbos. The reason is because you don't blow the chatzotzeris or the shofar for the filling of the water on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos itself, you don't fill up the water. The previous parak told us you fill it up on Erev Shabbos. So therefore, debatzri tshuva. So you're missing a lot because all the extra 12 that you do, shar elyon, shar atachten, etc., all of those are missing on Shabbos. So there's no reason to mention it because it's far less than 48 anyway. There's actually once a simcha space, a sheva sicha, where the Rebbe shtelzach on it and then says, what's Rava's chiddush then? Of course, if you're not filling up the water on Shabbos, there's nothing to blow for. So what do you mean, ain token the milu mayim b'Shabbos, as if to say the milu mayim takes place, but the tkiyas don't. So the explanation was that after all, we learned in previous perek. So what do you do on Shabbos during Sukkos? You can't fill up the water from the shiloyach on Shabbos because you can't carry. What you do is, we said, you fill it up and you put it in a barrel that's not a kli shoreis, so it doesn't become possible by lina. And then only the next morning do they pour it into the tzloiches. So in that case, you would have said that the pouring it into the tzloiches is the milu yamayim for that day. That is the milu yamayim, and therefore that should be accompanied by chatzotzeris. And Rava is telling us that no, the you leave all of those out on Shabbos during Sukkos. Fine. The Gemara asks, "V'lisni nami Rosh Hashanah shechalias b'Shabbos." Fine, but in that case, according to Rav Acha, if you blow individually for every musaf, then you should mention Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos. Dehar ikat tlosa musafin. After all, then you have three musafin: musaf to Rosh Hashanah, musaf to Rosh Chodesh, musaf to Shabbos. And then, so what does that give us? 27 for the musafin, 21 of every day is also 48. So why did the Mishnah have to specifically tell us the case of Erev Shabbos Shabbosecha Chag, when you have the same kind of scenario when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos? The answer is Erev Shabbos Shabbosecha Chag. It's Tzirichalei Lashmin, Kirab Elazmin Yaakov. The answer is okay. The reason why it wanted to mention Erev Shabbos during Sukkos is because it wanted to tell us at least what Rabbi Elazmin Yaakov is saying, that you don't do my last series. Okay, but it says Otu Mika Oma Lisniha Lisniha. So we're not saying it should say only Shabbos Rosh Hashanah and not Erev Shabbos during Sukkos. Lisniha Lisniha. Let it list both of them. What's wrong? And the answer is, as the Gemara often answers, Tana V'Shayer. The Tana doesn't list everything. He lists one thing. We're meant to understand that there are other exceptions as well. So the question is, my Shire. In that case, whenever we say ton of a Shire, we always have to have something else that he left out as well, because otherwise we're going to say, if he left out one thing, then we say he might have left that out because Hitaka doesn't hold of it. Only if he left out two or more things can we say, okay, he's not meaning to give an exhaustive list. So what else did he leave out that then we can say that it's fine for him to have left out Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? And therefore, Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. And remember, the point of mentioning Shabbos Rosh Hashanah would have been to show that the halachas like that he holds like Rav Acha Bachanina. So what else did he leave out? So if we're going to say that he left that out, in other words, if we're going to say he does hold like that, he just left it out because he doesn't want to list too many things. What else did he leave out? Correspondingly, Shaya Erev Pesach. The answer is he left out Erev Pesach. Now, Erev Pesach, what happened was, so you had, they brought the Korbanos Pesachim, they had three kittas, three groups, each one said Hallel. So now, Rashi learns like this, that each group would read Hallel three times. So because they'd say Hallel, and there's so many people bringing the Korban Pesach, that then they'd repeat Hallel, and then they do it a third time. So Rashi says, okay, the Mishnah says over there in Pesachim that they never finished the third time, but at least they started it. So therefore, Rashi explains, they had three tekiyas for each. They had three tekiyas for each reading of Hallel. So therefore, for the first group, they have nine tekiyas. For the second group, another nine. For the third group, another nine. And that also on a regular Erev Pesach also gives you 48. Tosfos has a whole different understanding of it, because Tosfos says, first of all, they divided Hallel into sections, and they blew shofar at the beginning of each section. So Tosfos rather understands that what it was is that forget about repeating Hallel. Not necessarily. You could have a cap that's small enough that they'd manage to finish all, shechting all the Korbanos Pesach while they're doing Hallel one time. It's not necessarily a given every time that the Mishnah says over there, Im Shonu Yishalshu, but not necessarily did it ever happen, at least not all the time, that Shonu. Therefore, Tosfos does the breakdown of 27 differently. Each time they said Hallel, they broke it into three sections, one from the beginning until Ahavti, a second one from Ahavti until Hodu Lashem, and a third one from Hodu until the end. Each one they would blow Tkiya Tzur Tkiya at the beginning of it. One time Hallel for sure they're going through, even for each group, as we're assuming right now. Therefore, you have nine Tkiyas for each group, and you're back to 27. So you also have 27, but counting in a different way than Rashi does. Anyway, the point is, so there also you have 21. It's a regular day, so 21, 27 because of the Shechitas Pesachim, and you also have 48. So you see that there are three cases so far, let's assume, where you have 48, Erev Shabbos doing Sukkos, Shabbos Rosh Hashanah according to Rav Acha Bachanina, and Erev Pesach, and all three of them you have 48, and yet the Tana only listed one. So therefore, no big deal to say that he left out two of them because he didn't want to give a whole long list rather than because he doesn't hold like Rav Acha Bachanina. However, the Gemara says, "Imishum erva Pesach lav shiurahu." That's not necessarily a proof. if you're going to argue that it's just they left out Erev Pesach, that's not necessarily a shear because Dahomani Rabbi Yehuda. Because you could equally well say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, where he says in Pesachim there, Mi mehem shokak shlishis, lohi gia loimar ahav to kiyishma Hashem, mipnei shahayo amamu'atim. He says there were very few people during the in the third group, because the third group was at the end of the day already, and most people were quicker about it. Most people were zoris to do the mitzvah and be in the first or second group. Therefore, the third group never even reached a havti the first time around. So according to Rashi, what that means is that they only have three tkiyas. So they don't have nine like the other groups, because they don't end up saying halal three times. And according to Tosfos, the vote is since they never reach Ahavti, they only have the three at the beginning by Halaluka, Halalu, Abdi Hashem. They don't have the other six by Ahavti and Hoidu. So therefore, so you have less. So you could say that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you don't end up with 48 necessarily on Erev Pesach. You end up with far fewer. Tosfos wonders. I mean, what kind of a thing is that? We're trying to fa'enfer of Acha b'Chanina. How can we say over here? All of a sudden, we're going to say, yeah, but maybe the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Let's just say, okay, the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and yeah, we have a shiur, and that's that. So a couple of the Rishonim explain, the Ritva, the Raivad, explain like this. What's the whole mechanism of Tana v'Shayer? It doesn't mean just that the Tana didn't want to list everything. It means that the Tana is listing things in such a way we want to be clear on what he agrees with and what he doesn't agree with. So therefore, so if you have an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda over here, which you could say because of that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, he left that out, then we don't have a solid proof that ton of a shire. In other words, not just you're going to say ton of a shire, okay, the Tana didn't bother listing everything. It means you have to be able to demonstrate for sure that the Tana left out something, not because he doesn't hold of it, but because it would have been too long a list. And now you can't prove that one way or the other, because after all, the Mishnah could be like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's not a proof. It could be that the Tana is leaving out that as well as Shabbos Rosh Hashanah because it was too many things to list. Or it could be, maybe he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then there's only one thing that he's leaving out, namely Shabbos during Sukkot, or rather Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, and that would show that he doesn't hold like Rabbi Acha bar Hanina. So you don't have a proof for him. So whole kimna to loik. So the Gemara says, what do you mean whole kimna to loik Rabbi Yehuda? What do you mean? We said at the beginning of the Mishnah, which said that there were never less than 21 and never more than 48, was not like Rabbi Yehuda, because we said yesterday Rabbi Yehuda holds that the tkiya trua tkiya is considered one unit. There's no dividing them, and therefore, according to him, the numbers are not 21 and 48, but rather 7 and 16. 7 groups of tkiya trua tkiya versus 16 groups. So we said the beginning of the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So how are we all of a sudden thinking that the continuation could be like Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, the Gemara says still, the Dilma Hai Tana Savala Kavasei Bechoda Upole Galei Bechoda. Fine, you could easily answer. The Tana of our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda himself. It's rather another Tana, a later Tana, who agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in one thing and disagrees with him on something else. He agrees with him about Erev Pesach, that the third group never reached a Havti. And therefore, we have fewer tkiyas. And he agrees with him on tkiya to a tkiya, whether it's considered one thing or three things. Okay. Ela my shire to high shire. Still, we can answer that there is something else that the Tana left out that he could have listed, and that we see, and that if he left it out, therefore it's not because he doesn't hold of it. It's just because he didn't want to list everything. You could say Shir Erev Pesach Shechalias BeErev Shabbos. You could say that maybe he left out Erev Pesach that comes out on Erev Shabbos. Apik Shis V'Ayol Shis, because you take out six, because according to the Yehuda, you're missing six tkiyas during the Shechita of the Korban Pesach, but you have six because it's Erev Shabbos, and you have six L'Havdol Ben Kodesh L'Chol, so therefore you're back to 48. So even if the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah could have listed Erev Pesach Shchalis BeErev Shabbos, and if it doesn't, that doesn't show. No matter what, the fact is everybody would have to agree you have at least 48 on such a day, and yet the Mishnah doesn't list it. So therefore, now you can say Tana v'Shayer. Now you have a basis for saying that the Tana didn't mention Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, not because he disagrees with Rav Acha bar Hanina, but rather because there was only so much he wanted to list. Okay, Now, the Mishnah had said, however, now that this is not the end of the discussion, the Gemara is going to revisit this later on Nun Hey Amun Aleph and end up and continue the discussion and conclude. So, what is it? Do we hold like Rav Acha or not? So, meanwhile, though, the Gemara says, when the Mishnah had said, Ve'ein Meisifin Al Memches, that they would never add more, that they would never have more than 48 tekiyos. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? No, of course, you had a case with more. Well, you can Erev Pesach Shechali is b'Shabbos. Let's go back to Erev Pesach. Let's say when it's on Shabbos. So now, the Eve of Rabbi Yehuda Chamshin v'Choda. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you have? According to him, you have 21 in connection with the Shechitas Pesachim, because you have 9 for each of the first two groups and 3 for the third one. 21 for every day and 9 for the Musaf. So even therefore you have 51. Ila Labanan Khamshin Vesheva, and according to the Chachamim, you have 57. Because according to the Chachamim, even the third group would get further in Hallel, according to Rashi, that they would also do Hallel 3 times, and according to Tosfos, that they would go through all of Hallel at least once, and therefore have 9 tekiyos. So according to the Chachamim, 21 for every day, 9 for the Musaf of Shabbos, 27 and 27 for the Shchit Es Pesachim comes out to 57. So what do you mean you never have more than 48? The answer is Kikatani Midi Di Isi B'chol Shana. Yeah, but the Mishnah is only listing things that happen every year. Erev Pesach Shachali Es Shabbos, the less B'chol Shana V'Shana Lekatani. The Mishnah is not bothering to list things that don't happen every year. Erev Pesach doesn't come out on Shabbos every year. In fact, it's a bit of a rare thing, really, when you think about it. So we had it this year for the first time in 13 years. The Yerushalmi comments on it, actually, in the story of Bnei Beseira and Hillel, where they didn't know if the Korban Pesach is brought on Shabbos, the Yerushalmi asks over there, it's impossible for two Shmittis to pass without there being Erev Pesach on Shabbos. So how comes it that they forgot? And the answer is it was Min HaShemayim, in order that Hillel should come to Gula. There is actually, in the back of the Gemara Erchim, there's an elaborate calculation from one of the Achronim, the Yefeya Naim, I think, who explains how mathematically he explains when they were Makadosh al Piyariya, how that comes about. But nevertheless, the fact is it might only be once every two Shmittas, once every 14 years, which is somewhat uncommon. Now, by the way, now that we're using that answer, of course, then the Gemara could easily use that answer before about Rosh Hashanah Shechali Shabbos. That doesn't happen every year either. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "Otu erev Shabbos shebesecha chag mi isi b'chol shana." So, what do you mean? You don't necessarily always have an erev Shabbos during Sukkot, where you have mili yamayim. Because zimnin d'loy mashkachas lo, you can have years then when there's no erev Shabbos when they're doing mili yamayim. V'hechidamik gan shachal yom tavrishin be'erev Shabbos. If the first day of Sukkot falls out on Erev Shabbos, if the first day of Sukkot falls out on Erev Shabbos, so you don't have Simchas Beis HaSheva on Yom Tov, so that and then next Erev Shabbos is already going into Shmini Atzeres, because it is already Shmini Atzeres. Thursday then is Hashana Rabba, and Friday is Shmini Atzeres. So that you don't have an Erev Pesach where you're drawing water and doing all the extra tekiyos. So that doesn't happen every year. So why is the Mishnah listing that according to what you're saying now? By the way, Tosfos makes a point over here. The fact is, the tekiyos that you do on Erev Shabbos, Lahavdol and Kodesh L'chol, are not Doraisa either. Yet we're saying that those are Doicha Yom Tov and Shabbos, whereas the ones of Beis HaSheva are not. So Tosfos refers to something they said at the beginning of the Perek, which is a reason why the Chachamim might be more machmir on Simchas Beis HaSheva, is because you had a tremendous number of instruments over there, and there's a good chance one of them is going to break. Mashenkin over here, you're only talking one shofar or one chatzotra, so therefore the Chachamim are not going to impose that shavus in the Bais HaMikdash. Anyway, what? The Gemara's question is that not every year do you have an Erev Shabbos when you're drawing water for Simchas Beis HaSheva. You don't do that. You don't have Simchas Beis HaSheva and the extra tekiyos on the first day Yom Tov, because we said the cholil and the other instruments of Simchas Beis HaSheva are not doicha Shabbos in Yom Tov. So when the first day of Yom Tov is on Friday, on Friday morning, you're not doing those tekiyos, and then the following Friday is already Shmini Atzeres. So you don't have that every year. So the answer is, the Gemara answers, Ki mikla yom tov rishon be'erev Shabbos midcha dechinin. As a matter of fact, the answer is, we're not going to allow the first day of Sukkot to be on Friday. If the Chachamim figure out that it's going to come out that the first day of Sukkot is going to be on Friday, then we're doicha, we make Elul of that year, be 30 days, in order to push it off a day. Loya durosh. My timer. Kibin the ikla yom tov rishon shachag v'yis be'erev Shabbos. Because if the first day of Sukkot falls out on Erev Shabbos, then let's work back with Yom Kippurim Emes Habi. When will Yom Kippur have been? Yom Kippur being 5 days before Sukkot. B'chad b'Shabbos. It'll be on Sunday. And that creates a problem. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, there are two potential problems when Yom Kippur is on Sunday. You have the same problems when Yom Kippur is on Friday also, which is also why we can't allow Yom Kippur to come out on Friday. With Mishum Yarkia or Mishum Mesia. Yarkia is you have vegetables that are going to spoil, because it's one thing when a Yom Tov comes out adjacent to Shabbos, okay, you allow Malacha Seichel Nefesh, so therefore it's not going to spoil. But Yom Kippur, the same Malachas that are also on Shabbos are also on Yom Kippur. So for 2 days, vegetables like that are going to spoil. And Messiah, if you have a mess that needs to be buried, again, on Yom Tov, you have more leniencies. The first day of Yom Tov, you can have Goyim bury him. The second day of Yom Tov, you can even have Jews bury him. But Yom Kippur, you can't. And Shabbos, you can't. So the body is going to spoil. So because of those kinds of considerations, the Chachamim do not want to allow Yom Kippur to be on Friday or on Sunday. This is part of the rule of Lo Yadu Rosh, right? Because for Yom Kippur to be on Friday or Sunday, Rosh Hashanah would be on Wednesday or Friday, respectively. So that's why we don't allow Rosh Hashanah to be on Wednesday or Friday. Now here, Bechlau, we're talking about when they were Mekadosh Alpi Ariya. And it is actually, there is some discussion among the Rishonim whether, in fact, when they were Mekadosh Alpi Ariya, whether they imposed these rules. Did they follow these rules of Loya Durosh? According to this Gemara, it seems that yes, but it's not so simple. Well, Acherim hold it fine, but the Halacha is not like the Acherim, but yeah. But even within the opinion of the Chachamim, there are Rishonim. For example, the Rambam writes the whole concept of Lo Yadu Rosh. He mentions it only in connection with the Luach HaKavua that we use nowadays. He doesn't mention it in connection with Alpi Ariya. Okay. So we don't allow. So we're not going to allow Yom Tov Rishon to be on Friday, because then Yom Kippur would be on Sunday. So the Gemara asked him, "Midachidem Lei? What do you mean? Do we actually push it off?" We learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos, Chel v'Shabbos kreven v'yem kippurim. If Yom Kippur comes out on Sunday and you have on Matzoi Shabbos leftover fats from the Korbanos of Shabbos, you're allowed to burn them on the Mizbeach on Yom Kippur. So you see, Yom Kippur can be on Sunday. The Amar Rav Zeira, and Rav Zeira says in that connection, in that Gemara in Shabbos, Ki havenan be Rav v'Bavel. When we used to be in the yeshiva of Rav in Bavel, Rav Zeira was born and grew up in Bavel, and then later on moved to Eretz Yisrael. So when we were there, Hava Amri, we used to say Hodatanya. This that it says in a Braisa, Yom Kippurim shechalias Erev Shabbos loy hayutotin. If Yom Kippur comes out on Erev Shabbos, they would not blow the sixth kias to tell people to stop malacha, because you can't do malacha on Yom Kippur anyhow. Over Matzoi Shabbos loy hayumavdilin. And that if Yom Kippur started on Matzah Shabbos, they wouldn't make Abdullah between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, like you do between Shabbos and any other Yom Tov. And we said Divrei Hakolhi, that is according to everybody, meaning the Mishnah, the Gemara over there brings a machloikas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva about this question. Can this that we're saying, that Chel v'Shabbos craven v'yem kippurim, is that in fact the case? Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva disagree whether that's the case. Rabbi Akiva holds that no, you can't burn the chalev of Shabbos on Yom Kippur because it's an equal level of kedusha. It's a separate kedusha, and therefore you can't. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel holds that they're like one long continuous kedusha. Anyway, but Rabbi Zeira says this, that we don't blow the tekiyas if it comes out on Erev Shabbos, and this, that we don't make Abdullah if it comes out Matzah Shabbos, is according to both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So then that means, in other words, that Yom Kippur could be on Sunday. So we're back to the question then. In that case, the first day Sukkot could be on Friday. And the Mishnah, yet the Mishnah lists the Erev Shabbos from a Secha Chag as though it was something that comes out every year, when you don't actually have that every year. And Rav Zeira continues, Ki Sleikus Lahasam, when I went up to there, meaning Eretz Yisrael, Ashkachte le Rabbi Huda Breide Rav Shimon Pazi, I found Rabbi Huda Breide Rav Shimon Pazi Yosef Bekamar, Rabbi Akiva. I found him saying that no, that particular part about Loi Hayu Tekin and Loi Hayu Mavdilin is only according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel would say that you do Havdalah between them because he holds that Yom Kippur is a lesser Kedusha than Shabbos, the same way as he holds that you can burn the Chalev of Yom Kippur, the leftover Chalev of Shabbos, rather, on Yom Kippur. Anyway, the point is, it seems that everybody holds that Yom Kippur could be on Sunday. The answer is, like Kasha HaRabbanon HaAcherim. The answer is that no, there was actually a separate machlokes between the Chachamim and Acherim. Our Mishnah would be according to the Rabbanon, where the Rabbanon say, when there's a need, for example, in this case, to keep Yom Kippur from falling on certain days of the week, then Beis Din has the authority to extend the month, meaning, in other words, even though mathematically they can calculate the moon will be visible the night after the 29th, and therefore that means Edim are going to come the next day, and that, nevertheless, Beis Din has the authority to say, you know what, we're not going to accept Edim, and we're going to extend Elul by a day and make Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and all the Yom Tovim a day later. And they have the ability to do that because the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, Atam Afilu Shogim, Atam Afilu Mezidim, etc. So they have that authority. By the way, the Gemara does tell us in Rosh Hashanah that from the time of Ezra and onward, Lo Motzinu Elul Ma'uber, we don't have any record of Elul ever having been 30 days. So preposterous, the idea would be that they'd look ahead, they wouldn't wait until Elul and then make it 30 days. If they saw there was going to be coming up such a situation, they could calculate ahead when the moon is going to be visible, when not, then they would arrange that one of the earlier months, Tammuz or Av, would be 30 days and then manipulate it that way rather than having to make Elul 30 days. The advantage of that is if you leave Elul always 29 days as much as possible, then it means that people have less of a suffix when Rosh Hashanah is. Anyway, but according to the Chachamim, you could do that. According to Acherim, you cannot. You cannot be ma'aber the chodesh l'tzorech, and therefore, according to them, there's no wiggle room if the kviyus is such that Yom Kippur is going to be on Friday or on Sunday, then it has to remain that way. Tanya, Acherim Oymim, Ein Bein Atzeres LaAtzeres, you never have between one Shavuos and the next, the Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah LaRosh Hashanah, or between one Rosh Hashanah and the next, Ela Arba Yomim Bilvad, you always have only 4 days in the week between them, because, in other words, a regular year is 12 months of 29 of alternating 29 and 30 days each. So 6 months of 30 days and 6 months of 29 days equals 354, which is what we call a Shana Kesidra. And that 354 divided by 7 gives you a remainder of 4. So therefore, if one year, the first day Shavuos is Sunday, then the next year, it's going to be 4 days later, it's going to be Thursday, and the same thing with Rosh Hashanah. So there's no wiggle room. If it was an Ibru year, then 5, because they hold that the extra Adar is always 29 days, not like we have it 30 days, and therefore that adds one more day in the week. 29 days is 4 weeks and a day. So according to them, you don't have any room to be ma'aber the chodesh l'tzorech. Mind you, the Gemara in Erchin points out that even according to the Acherim, this isn't exact. Every month, after all, it's not exactly 29 and a half days. You have an extra 44 minutes in one chelet. So over time, that adds up. So eventually, the Gemara says over there, you need to have, even according to Acherim, every so often you need to have a shana, every couple of years you need to have a shana shlema to compensate for that. Every 3 years because of the extra 8 hours, every 30 years because of the extra 800 odd halakim. Actually, Rabbeinu Hananel says over here that Acherim were not expert in Soid HaIber, so they didn't know the actual length of the month. The fact is, the length is variable from one month to the next. When we say Chavtes Yudbeis Tashzag, that's an average, which we use for the calendar nowadays. So Rabbeinu Hananel says Acherim were not familiar with the details, and therefore they thought that you could just have alternating 29 and 30-day months without compensating for anything at all. So therefore, they concluded that always you have, from one year to the next, there's always 4 days between one Rosh Hashanah and the next, or 5 in a leap year. So therefore, it means, according to them, Rosh Hashanah could come out on any day of the week. Yeah, there's no wiggle room to make extra long months, because according to them, the months have to be strictly alternating 29-30, with the exception of when there's an Ibru year. Okay, so you could say then that the Mishnah there in Shabbos that talks about Yom Kippur being after being on Sunday or being on Friday would be according to Acherim. Our Mishnah would be according to the Chachamim. So according to the Chachamim, you never have the first day of Sukkot being on Friday. Therefore, the Mishnah can talk about the Friday during Sukkot when you do Miri Amayim, and we understand that it means that Friday is always going to be one of the days of Chol HaMoed. It's never going to be the first day Sukkot. Okay, so the Gemara says, getting back now to the discussion of Rav Acha about how many tekiyas you do for the Musafim, where again he said that you do separate 9 tekiyas for each of the Musafim. Basically, the Gemara says, Rosh Chodesh Shechalis v'Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, Shir Shor Rosh Chodesh Doicha Shir Shor Shabbos. Then the Shir of Rosh Chodesh Baruch Hinafshi overrides the Shir of Shabbos. Now, v'i isa, if you're telling me, Rav Acha, that you do separate tekiyas for each one, leima de Shabbos for leima de Rosh Chodesh, do them separately. Melech, you say you do only one set of tekiyas for all, so it means, in other words, we only have 9 tekiyas available, and we need to split the Shir Shor Yom into 3 parts, and therefore it means we only have either one or the other. We don't have room to do both. But according to Rav Acha, why not do both? Do Shabbos and do Rosh Chodesh. So Rav Safra says, you're right. Doicha doesn't mean we push it off altogether. It just means the Shir of Rosh Chodesh comes first. So the question is, why? Shouldn't the, and then never mind. Actually, Tosafot says, even without Rav Safra saying anything, we could ask, if we're going to say that Doicha completely, then why is the Todir of Shabbos not coming first? So why is it not coming exclusively according to our Havamina, or first according to Rav Safra? The answer is Amar Rav Yechonon Leida Shehuk Rosh Chodesh Bizmanin, because we want to inform people that Rosh Chodesh was established at the proper time. It should be a heker, in other words, because the fact is most people don't see the new moon. So most people see you celebrating at Rosh Chodesh. They're going to say to themselves, what do you mean? Were there actually Edim? You basically make a mistake. Who knows what? So like this, we want to be mefarsim that today is Rosh Chodesh, and we accomplish that by putting the Shir Shor Yom of Rosh Chodesh first according to Rav Safra, or exclusively according to the Hava Amina of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "V'hai hakera avdinan." So what are you telling me? That's the hector that we make by having the Shir Shor Yom of Rosh Chodesh. Ha hakera achrita avdinan. There's a different hector that we do for that purpose. The Tanya, or the Tanan, really, at the mission at the end of Shkolim. Chel ve'tomed shol shachar mitonin mechatzit keves shol amata b'mizrach. The fact of the tomed shol shachar. Now the way they worked it is they shechted the korban, they skinned it, they cut it up. Then the Kohenim, who were chosen in the pious, would take the pieces to the ramp of the Mizbeach. They'd put them down over there. They'd salt them. Then they'd leave them for a little while and go do some other things, including parts of davening and other things. And then they'd come back over there onto Machlokas, whether it's the same Kohenim or different Kohenim, and they would bring it up to the top of the Mizbeach and throw it into the fire. So the Mishnah says there, the fats of the Tomid Shol Shachar, and the Nevorim and everything, Mitonin Mechatzit Kevesh Olamata B'Mizrach, they are placed on the bottom half of the Kevesh on the eastern side. There are actually different Gusois over here, whether it's the eastern side or the western side, whatever. Tosfos refers to it over here. Anyway, the ones of a Korban Musaf on Shabbos or whatever are placed on the west side of the Kevesh. The Shorash Chodesh Nitonim Tachas Tarkov Amizbeach Olamata. The ones of Rosh Chodesh are placed underneath the Tarkov, which is the Soiviv of and below it. So in other words, the Soiviv is 2/3 of the way up the Mizbeach. So they are placed still not all the way on the top of the Kevesh, still further down, but just under the Soiviv, which is much higher up than the other one. And V'amar Rabbi Yechonon Leida Shehuk B'Rosh Chodesh B'Zmanei. And Rabbi Yechonon tells us, why did they do that? Why did they make something special for the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh compared to every other Musaf? In order that everybody should know that Rosh Chodesh was established at the proper time. So we have that hector, where we need the Shir Shor Yom. The answer is Trei Hakeira Avdinan. Okay, we make 2 Hakeirim. D'chozi Hai Chozi, or D'chozi B'Hai Chozi. This way, no matter what, one person might notice the Evorim, and that'll tell him, hey, today is Rosh Chodesh. Another one is not going to notice that, but he's going to notice the Shir Shor Yom, and vice versa. This way, we have more people are going to know about it, and this way, people will have more certainty that it is, in fact, Rosh Chodesh, and they're not just hearing rumors or something. Okay, so no proof one way or the other. It could be that, in fact, they do the Shir Shor Yom in that order, according to Rav Safra, that they do only one, they do not only one, they do first Rosh Chodesh, then Shabbos, and like Rav Acha says, they do separate tkiyas for each one. But we don't have a proof necessarily one way or the other. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and wrap up that discussion. And then also talk about the Shir Shoyoms of Sukkot and so forth. We also, by the way, you know, in our minhag, when you think about it, we don't do any of the special Shir Shoyoms for Yom Tovim. The only special one we do besides the weekday ones is, in fact, the one for Rosh Chodesh. And it has the same reason, in order to publicize that it's Rosh Chodesh, because all the other Yom Tovim, it's easy to know when they take place. They all take place. Most of them take place on the 15th of the month, only Rosh Chodesh, because you always have. The month is variable. Therefore, you need a special piritzim for it. And that's why it's our minute to say Baruch Hinafshi on Rosh Chodesh.
Did I hear my father in the background?
Yeah, your father's here.
Yeah.
What you're asking? What the connection is between the Gemara? So now, what? Okay, so yeah, let's give a recap then. We Rav Acha bar Chanina was telling us that whenever you have more than one Musaf, then you only have a separate set of tkiyas for each one. So according to him, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you would have two sets of nine tkiyas each. So now, so we went through the whole discussion about the various cases where you have more tkiyas that the Mishnah had mentioned. We said, okay, there are in fact cases where you have at least as many, maybe even more, but the Mishnah didn't list them for one reason or another. Now, as far as if according to Rav Acha bar Chanina, not only you would have separate tkiyas, also implies that you would have separate Shir Shoyoms, because the tkiyas go together with the Shir Shoyoms. But if we're saying that that when Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, then the one of Rosh Chodesh is doicha, the one of Shabbos, seems to imply you only have one Shir Shoyom. One Shir Shoyom implies one set of nine tkiyas, which would be not like Rav Acha. And the answer is no. We don't mean that it's doicha, as in it pushes it aside. We do mean that it pushes it aside, but not that it pushes it completely away. You don't say the one of Shabbos at all. We could say it means you say the one of Rosh Chodesh and then the one of Shabbos. And each one gets its own nine tkiyas. And each one gets its own nine tkiyas, and therefore that could still work, and therefore what Rav Acha bar Chanina is saying could still be valid. So we haven't concluded. We're going to conclude the discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem, about whether the halacha is like him or not. But right now, at the point that we're at now, we haven't yet disproved Rav Acha bar Chanina. The halacha may well be like him, that each Shir Shoyoyim gets its own tkiyas.